Hey guys, it's been a hot ass minute. I'm sorry for disappearing like that, but a lot has been going on. But I'm here now, and we're gonna go ahead with a new case. So here I have the case of Tamala Horsford, a Georgia mother of five, dies leaving a trail of questions and heartache. Despite overwhelming evidence of a tragic and senseless accident, some family and friends see a murder and cover-up at work in the death of a beloved mother of five children in Cumming, Georgia. In February 2019, the Fourth County Sheriff's Office in Georgia announced they had decided to close their investigation into the death of 40-year-old Tamala Horsford, whose body was found after she attended a house party with friends in November 2018. In a press release published on February 20th, a spokesperson for the sheriff's office wrote, "On February 6, 2019, the Forsyth County Sheriff's Office received the final medical examiner's reporting regarding Ms. Horsford. The state of Georgia medical examiner has ruled the death accidental and consistent with the fall. Detectives have spent the following weeks reviewing the medical findings with those found at the crime scene by the Major Crimes Unit and the Crime Scene Investigation Unit. No evidence or injury patterns indicate of an assault or foul play were noted by Forsyth County Sheriff's Detectives or in the Forsyth County Coroner's Office or Georgia Bureau of Investigation, medical examiner's report. During the course of this investigation, detectives have conducted approximately 30 interviews and spent well over 300 man hours conducting this investigation. With the finding of an accidental death resulting from a fall, as reported by the GBI Medical Examiner's Office, along with the extensive findings in the investigation of the Forsyth County Sheriff's Office, the Forsyth County Sheriff's Office has closed the death investigation. That development did little to assure the concerns and skepticism of home of some of Ms. Horsford's friends and family members, as well as some online observers who saw a murder and cover-up at play rather than a tragic accident. In an interview with WSB-TV, Horsford's friend Michelle Graves said she believed the 40-year-old mother of five children was the victim of a homicide and not an accident. On February 11th, Facebook user Sheila Bray posted the following widely shared account along with a photograph of Horsford. "Black woman murdered at football mom's sleepover. This 40-year-old Tammy, mother of five boys and a daughter, she was murdered on November 14, 2018, while attending a sleepover with seven white women. What was supposed to be an all-woman slumber party ended in a mysterious night of questions. Tammy was found brutally beaten face down in the yard later that morning. Her body was discovered by the homeowner's aunt at 7:30 a.m. 911 was called around 9:30 a.m. at the same house these women shared laughs and drinks earlier that evening." Now here's the strange part. Three men also attended the sleepover. So out of the 10 people present, nobody knows what happened to Tammy. So you need to tell me, Tammy was murdered at the sleepover and nobody heard or seen anything. Yes, that's correct. Nobody knows what happened. To top it off, there was no thorough murder investigation and procedure was not followed. The news was never involved. I mean, there's a lot of cases not always covered by the media. Tammy's family hasn't received autopsy reports stating the cause of death. So this African-American lady gets murdered, and everyone walks out of the house furry. back to their football mom duties. These families involved have political ties and lots of money. They're covering up her murder. In fact, they believe no one cares enough about this African-American lady. Since they have already seen successful in delaying documents on her case and keeping things under wraps, sounds like white privilege to me. What do y'all think? Please share this story. Justice for Tam. Bray's account was promulgated further when it was reposted on February 16th, and similar claims of a murder and cover-up emerged on social media in the following days. On February 20th, Horsford's father, Kirtland St. George, told Atlanta radio host Ryan Cameron that he rejected the Forsyth County Sheriff's Office decision to close the investigation, saying her injuries are not consistent with what they are saying, and claiming that an independent pathologist hired by the family suspects that some of her injuries were post-mortem. His own belief, St. George told Cameron, was that his daughter was assaulted inside the house in question and was then moved outside to stage the aftermath of a fall. We made repeated attempts to contact friends and members of Horsford's family who have spoken publicly about the case, as well as the family's attorney, with a particular view to seeing the results of any independent autopsy they may have commissioned. Unfortunately, we did not receive a response of any kind of them. Snoops.com has obtained the entire case file relating to Forsyth County Sheriff's Office investigation into Tamala Horsford's death, including the statements of all 10 attendees at the party, transcripts of interviews with the attendees, the GBI autopsy report, police incident reports, cell phone video footage of the night in question, and photographs of the scene. Taken as a whole, that evidence appears to add up to a desperate tragedy, a pajama party among football moms to mark a 45th birthday, characterized by laughter, drinking, games, old friendships, and new acquaintances, all of which culminated in a horrifying morning after discovery. We obtained this evidence through the Georgia Open Records Act. The documents are public records, but we have decided to deact the last names of attendees at the party because attorneys for the women who reside at the home where Horsford died have claimed that their client has received multiple death threats online. On the evening of November 3rd, 2018, a group of women gathered at the home of Janine in Cumming, Georgia, to celebrate her 45th birthday. The plan, Jan would later tell people, was to watch the LSU Tigers play the Alabama Crimson Tide and have a pajama party / swimming party with drinks and appetizers. Jan's boyfriend, Jose, hung out in the basement watching the football game with Tom, the husband of Stacy, another partygoer. At halftime, Jan said the two men came upstairs and mingled. The guests began to trickle in at 7, and around 8:30, Tamala arrived. Interviews with the police indicated that many of the partygoers had never met Tamala before, but Jan knew her because their sons played football together. Tamala brought a bottle of tequila as a present for Jan's birthday, but ended up drinking from it herself because Jan told her she wasn't a tequila drinker. According to interviews and statements given by the partygoers, the night seemed to have been a success. The woman drank, ate a pot of gumbo and snacks, and had an overall pretty good time. Cell phone videos included in the case file show Tamala and the other guests sitting on a couch playing Cards Against Humanity and laughing a lot. Photographs from the party captured Tamala dressed in a white pajama onesie with gray paw prints, smiling hardly at the center of the group of women. Tamela was especially social, and several of the other partygoers noted how talkative and friendly she was. Paula, who arrived after everyone else, later told police that Tam was in a great mood. She was dancing and she was talking to everyone. She engaged with everybody, and she's got that personality. Tamela talked about her family often and with great pride. At one point in the night, she FaceTimed her stepdaughter, who was expecting a child, and expressed considerably excitement about the arrival of the new baby. Throughout the night, the partygoers told police Tamela went out onto Janine's first floor deck to smoke cigarettes and marijuana. Many of the women consumed quite a bit of alcohol that night, and Tamela was one of them. As the evening wound down, some of the women headed home or were picked up by rides, while others went to bed in various rooms of Jian's house. Tamela had planned to stay overnight and sleep in Jian's son's room, but she was keen to hang out and socialize even more. Shortly before 2 a.m., one of the partygoers named Bridget was picked up by her husband. Bridget told police that Tamela saw her off and was left eating a bowl of gumbo as she was the last one awake in the house. Jian's home security system was hooked up to send notifications to her cell phone every time a door opened or closed in the house. The list of notifications provided the police and included in the case file tells its own tragic story. Back door was open at 1:57 a.m. Back door was closed at 1:50 a.m. Back door was open at 1:49 a.m. Front door was closed at 1:47 a.m. Front door was opened at 1:47 a.m. Jian's aunt Madeline lived at the house and attended Jian's birthday party, but she retired early. At around halftime in the LSU game, she went downstairs to her basement bedroom, took a bath, and went to bed. The next morning, she got up at around 8:45 and went to make coffee when she saw a disturbing sight from the basement window. As she told police, "I was just staring out the window and I saw those Dalmatian pajamas, so I didn't start the coffee. I got on my knees and said a prayer and then I ran upstairs." Madeline woke Janine and Jose, came outside and found Tamela laying face down in the backyard. At 8:59 a.m., Janine called 911 and asked for an ambulance. Here's the transcript of the call, which I'll read to you guys. "Jean, we had people over last night. We were drinking. Most of us went to bed. One of them stayed on the balcony. She was drinking. And we just went outside and she's laying face down in the backyard. It looks like maybe, I'm guessing she fell off the balcony, but she's stiff." The dispatcher, "Okay, is she breathing?" "Jean, I don't know, but she's face down." At this point, Jian became distressed and passed the phone to her boyfriend, Jose. "Jose, she is not moving one bit. She is not breathing. She's completely face down in the yard. She is stiff." The Forsyth County Sheriff's Office and Coroner's Office were dispatched to the scene, and Tamela was formally pronounced dead at 10:47 a.m. In a supplemental incident report, the lead investigator on the case, Detective Michael Christian, described the scene as he discovered it. Tamela was located in the backyard in a prone position. She was laying with her head away from the residence and her feet toward the residence. Her left arm was at an approximately 40 degree angle from her body, and the forearm and hand were bent further toward her head in the approximately 10 o'clock position. Her right arm was straight by her side with the hand approximately 6 inches from the leg. Her legs were straight behind her with both feet pointing to the right. Tamela was clad in one-piece pajama outfit consisting of a white fleece hooded outfit with dog paw prints on it and a set of ears affixed to the hood. Tamela's body was sketched and measured. Additionally, the height of the main level porch was noted as well as the height of the rail. With the permission of Deputy Coroner Bowen, Tamela was turned over. Most notable when Tamela was turned over was the fact that she had come to rest face down. Her head had not been canted to one side or the other. Kamala's right wrist was fractured or dislocated. There was a large bump where her wrist met her hand, as well as a cut over the bump as if the bone had cut the skin from the inside. These were matching defects on both Tamala's shins. These corresponded with a piece of metal landscaping edging which stood up approximately 1 inch from the surrounding ground. Other than the broken wrist and cuts on her shins, no obvious signs of injury presented themselves. 2 days later, on November 6th, the Georgia Bureau of Investigations Associate Medical Examiner Andrew Koopmeiners performed an autopsy on Tamala. Although it contained detail of fatal injuries that might be upsetting to some readers, Dr. Koopmeiners' summary was as follows. The decedent is a 40-year-old woman. Per report, she was last known to be alive shortly after midnight on November 4th, 2018. At that time, she was drinking heavily at a party in a residence. The next morning, she was discovered unresponsive in the backyard under a deck that is approximately 10 to 15 feet from the ground. It appeared as though she had fallen from a deck. She was pronounced dead without attempted resuscitation. Autopsy revealed severe injuries of the head, neck, and torso, including subarachnoid hemorrhage, bleeding in the space between the brain and the skull, subdural hemorrhage, bleeding between the brain and the membrane that surrounds the brain, fracture of the second cervical vertebrae, a broken neck, and a laceration of the heart. Other injuries, including abrasions of the face, left arm, left hand, and left leg, lacerations of the right wrist and right leg, and a dislocation of the right wrist. The observed injuries are consistent with those received in a fall. In light of the autopsy findings and investigative information, the cause of death in multiple blunt force injuries and the manner of death is accidental. Forensic toxicologist from the BOI, which is Bureau of Investigation, also tested samples of Tamala's blood, urine, and eye fluid for various drugs and alcohol. She tested positive for THC. Xanax and alcohol at a concentration of 0.238 grams per 100 milliliters, almost three times the state of Georgia's drinking driving limit of 0.08 grams per 100 milliliters. The aftermath. That autopsy report was finalized on February 5th, 2019. And 2 weeks later, Forsyth County Sheriff's Office officially closed their investigation into Tamala Horsford's death, writing in a memo, "The supervising investigator, Captain Tyler Sexton, outlined the status of the investigation. The injuries sustained to Ms. Horsford were deemed to be consistent with those received in a fall. No evidence or injury patterns indicative of any result, assault, or foul play were noted by sheriff's detectives or in the coroner's or state of Georgia medical examiner's reports. Exhaustive interviews with multiple witnesses, family, and neighborhood canvasses were conducted by sheriff's detectives throughout this investigation. At conclusion, no evidence of criminal activity has been discovered in this investigation. Nothing in the hundreds of pages of interview transcripts we reviewed suggest anyone at the house that night had any grievance with Horsford, nor did any discernible disagreement or dispute take place at the party. On the contrary, many of the partygoers were struck with her personality, which appeared to have been extraordinary. Describing her as a sweet and fun, super friendly, warm, and so on. Speaking to police, Tamala's husband gave the poignant description of her. She had the biggest heart on this planet. There's people all over this world right now that are mourning for this young lady. However, the internet has been rife with alternative theories and allegations since November of 2018. Despite the lack of evidence or even a coherent motive for such, Tamala's death has been described as a murder by social media influencers and in viral posts like the ones we highlighted above. The Forsyth County Sheriff's Office has been accused of coordinating a cover-up, and the simple fact that Hartsford was the only African-American woman at the party has been used by some to claim a racially motivated attack on her took place, although any actual evidence of either an attack or racial animosity is lacking. Some of Rivers has said it's a suspicious that Tamala's body was discovered at 7:30, but police were not called until 9. However, that premise is incorrect, and Captain Sexton even made a point of emphasizing that it is a February 19th memo writing that detectives have confirmed the initial 911 call for assistance at 8:59 was made within minutes of the initial discovery of the deceased. The role of Janine's boyfriend Jose has come under scrutiny. Until December 2018, he was a probation officer for Forsyth County and used his position to access confidential files relating to the investigation into Tamala's death. This fact was cited by some of Tamala's friends and family as suspicious or suggestive of a cover-up. Jose's actions may have been distasteful or inappropriate, and he lost his job over them, but they could easily be attributed to no more than morbid curiosity about an investigation into the death of a woman who died in his girlfriend's backyard, rather than elaborate criminal conspiracy to cover up a murder. Some of Horsford's family and friends have claimed that the injuries she suffered were not consistent with the fall. This claim is directly and comprehensively contradicted by the results of State Georgia Medical Examiner's autopsy. Horsford's father, Kirtland, and her friend, Michelle Graves, have both alluded to the independent autopsy commissioned by the family, but no report of that autopsy has been published as of February 27, 2019. We contacted an attorney for Tamala's family, as well as friends and family members who have previously spoken publicly about the case, requesting a copy of any independent autopsy report or evidence that might substantively contradict the findings of the Forsyth County Sheriff's Office, but we did not receive any response. The totality of the available evidence points to a scenario in which Tamala stepped out on the back deck at 1:57 a.m. on November 4, 2018 to smoke a cigarette or get some fresh air, tripped and fell 10 to 15 feet from the deck to the ground, and suffered what proved to be a fatal injuries to her head and neck, a cruel, senseless, and tragic accident. An update. In a letter dated June 12, 2020, acknowledging public requests to re-examine the case in the light of any new evidence that may be available, Forsyth County Sheriff Ron Freeman asked the Georgia Bureau of Investigation assume and open an investigation into the tragic death of Tamala Horsford. And that's the case of Tamala Horsford. What do you guys think? Do you guys think the other woman's killed her? Do you think she actually did fall? I mean, who knows? Only those women and the two men that were there, right? Well, guys, that's the end of the case, and hope you enjoy it.